Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3, Ephesians chapter 3. It is neat to have our song here, Arise, Old Church, Arise. We're singing, we're preaching through that. And we are waiting for the prize. Arise to the prize. Our heavenly prize is wonderful here. Tim's going to come up and read for us here, Ephesians chapter 3, 10 to 14.
It's actually Philippians chapter 3, as you look on the screen behind me.
What did I say?
You said Ephesians. So, yeah, a couple, one chapbook off. That's okay. Also in the Red Pew Bible, it's on page 803. And if you found Philippians chapter 3, you can stand out of reverence for God's word. And then follow along as I begin in verse 10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made comfortable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Thank you. You may be seated.
Philippians chapter 3, verse 14. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's our goal. We're pressing for to be like Christ. It's a progress. It's wonderful. The prize is when we get to heaven, we're declared righteous and we get rewarded and we just finish the race and we're in a race and it's great to catch that. Arise to the prize. The high calling, the greatest purpose, the greatest meaning, the greatest accomplishments, the task, time spent is for Jesus, and that's our task, and that's our calling, and Paul says, hey, that's my goal. I know where I'm going, I'm focused, and I'm pressing towards that mark to be with Jesus, to be declared, and it's a high and holy calling, and it's tremendous, and I trust you realize that. In our song here, Arise, Old Church, it says, put your armor on. Go back to one. To put your armor on, to be strong, to have strength, to stand. You catch all that? That's the first one. The second one here, we're in a war with the world, the flesh, and the devil. And the Word of God can heal our wounds. Amen? I trust you understand that. And we're in this fight with faith and valor. And we're going to have the victory and we're going to win the prize. Christ's going to win the prize. To have people in heaven with him. Arise, old church. Is that right? Arise, old church. Be busy in the battle. Win the battle. Fight the good fight of faith. The third one here, as we're here tonight, or this morning, is the cross. We're going to hit that this morning. The cross. The conqueror. The victor. Huh? We're on the winning team. And then this morning also, the Spirit. The Spirit. It says, Old Spirit, come. In chapter 11 of Hebrews. Everybody turn there. Oh, the Spirit, strengthen, give grace to run, to win. And then it says in the green, this is what hit me. As saints of old still line the ways. We've had some great saints in the last 35 years that have passed away and lined the way. Is that right? They're in heaven today and they may see us. I don't know. But they lined the way. They prepared the way. They stood strong. They died strong. They died faithful. They finished their task. You can think of those people. Amen? They're on the tip of your tongue. The people that are around you in your life, your family. That's pretty important. One day we're going to be there. And what are people going to think about you? What are you known for? the saints of old still line the way. We're not going to go into all of the saints of our church history. Pastor Kyle's going to preach on the 500th year of the Reformation is this year. 500 years ago, Martin Luther nailed the 95 Theses to the door over in England and changed the world. I saw a clip on it on WNIT. It's called Martin Luther. It was very good to realize what he did, and he changed the whole world. And he was just one man, and he really didn't have a plan. God did it. It was amazing how God changed everything. And the ones who started following him called him the Lutherans. What are you? And you know, and he says they are Lutherans. And once Martin Luther realized, they named it after me. And he says, no. And he printed the 95 Theses in Latin just for the church. He was wanting to change the church. And the printing press was just created at that time. It was amazing. God's timing's perfect. And they wanted something that was kind of controversial and sell, so they translated into German, okay, and started printing it. And it went everywhere. He got it. Somebody gave him a copy of it. He's giving out. He goes, who did this? You know, he didn't know anything. And it was amazing how God just used him. And then he was put in jail and whatever, and he wrote all kinds of writings, and it just kept going. It was amazing how God just did it. And he realized all he was doing is standing for truth. He just stood for truth in his church and said, this is what it's going to be. And it started a reformation, the Protestant Reformation, that changed the world. Amen? That's why we're here today. And they lined the way. They lined the way. Retelling triumphs of his grace. I think you need to do that. You need to make certain your children and grandchildren and adult children and your friends and your neighbors know your story of triumphs of grace, how God did this. And it was neat to see. I told you about the suit of armor on Wednesday night, how God just let that happen. Y'all that weren't here, I'm preaching a series in January on the armor of God, and I was going into all the schools. I went to 7 schools last week and lining up the teachers for lunching. We're going to serve the teachers and bless the teachers in schools. Is that great? That's great. Get involved with that. That's coming in October. But I was in one of the schools, Mary Daly, and they are the Knights, the Mary Daly Knights. And in the office, there was a whole suit of armor. And I went, wow, I says, I would love to have that. And I said, I'm preaching a series. They called up and lined up a lunchtime for us to feed their teachers. And the lady says, oh, by the way, your preacher can borrow our suit of armor and use it for. So for our series in January, we're going to have a whole suit of armor up here. And it's from our public school. Isn't that neat? I was in another public school just this week. And one of the people has been visiting our church, had walked in. We walked in at the exact same time. Is that neat? I love it when these things happen. I was there and he was standing right there. He was ministering to his children. I thought that was so cool. He was having lunch with his children. And I said, wow, isn't God good? And you just don't, you know, you're doing one thing. Is that right? You're going for this. And God did this. Also had a flat tire this week. I don't like these things, but I went over to Monteith, sat down there with a book I was reading, and a man sitting there said, what book are you reading? And I'm saying, well, I'm reading a commentary on the book of James by John MacArthur. And me and him talked for a half hour. Isn't that cool? I did not get to read my book. And you realize, you know, those are 3 things that happened. I could tell you, you know, it didn't happen every day, all day, okay? But those were 3 things that just made this week that God's here, huh? And you tell the story, retelling the triumphs of his grace. And I trust you have some stories. We hear their call and hunger for the day when with Christ we stand in glory. Is that good? Arise, old church, arise. Be busy down here and be looking for up there. Arise, old church, arise. Philippians, or Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. I just want you to see this, to realize what was going on. The book of Hebrews chapter 11 is called the faith chapter. It gives all kinds of names. And when I mention the names, I'm not going to take time to hit every name. But when I mention the names, I want you to think. Chapter 11, verse 2, it says, "For by it, faith, the elders, the Old Testament saints, obtained a good report." They had a testimony. They had a reputation. They were rewarded. And by faith, they lived. And then verse 4, it says, "Abel." Does things pop in your mind when I say Abel? Oh, the story of Abel pops in your mind. Enoch, the story of Enoch pops in. Verse 5, verse 7, Noah. What a story of Noah. And then verse 8 is Abraham. I'm glad God let the ladies get in here. And verse 11 is Sarah. And then in verse 18 is Isaac. In verse 20 is Jacob. In verse 22 is Joseph, one of the great guys of the Bible. I love this one. Verse 23, it's Moses' parents. Is that good? Not Moses, it's Moses' parents. And then in verse 24, it's Moses. And then in verse 31, it's Rahab, a Gentile. Is that pretty cool? I want you to know. I had two ladies, really three ladies, Moses' mother, but it's neat to see these. And then in verse 32, I love verse 32. That's kind of how my life is. And it says, "And what shall I say more, for time would fail me to tell you." Okay, I've already said enough, you know. I've spent too much time. Let me go boom, 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 boom. Here he's just giving. He says, Gideon pops in your mind. Barak. Do you know Barak didn't do too much? It was all Deborah. Y'all know that? It was all Deborah. Barak was a coward. He got his name in here. Aren't you glad God uses people? Just regular people, even weak people. Samson, was he one of the great ones? He was terrible. Did God use him? Did he accomplish God's task by his death? Yes. He paid dearly his consequences. Jephthah. And all of these are the judges. Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, Samuel. And then David the king. And then all of the prophets. And it's amazing to catch it. These people line the way. These people retell their triumph of grace. And let these people jump in your minds. And they were just regular people. Don't think that they were mighty, mighty people. Verse 35, it says, some were tortured. We have a lady, Gracia Burnham. Her picture's going to be right there. She was captured by some militant Muslim terrorist in 01, and was in the jungles in the Philippines for a whole year and a little bit, and almost died in the terror of the jungle. She's going to be here in our church in October. You got to get onto this. We have a video. I want you to invite somebody to this. If a person comes and hears Gracia, it will change their life. And here's a video.
We're very normal, very, very normal people. And we were just doing what God wanted us to do. So we flew down there and went out to Dos Palmas. It's an island resort. And early the next morning, before the sun was even up, there was a bang on the door. And then in came three guys with M16s. They took us to a speedboat. As we pulled away from the dock, they all lifted their M16s and yelled, "Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar." And then we knew it was the Abu Sayyaf. And I said to Martin, "We are in big trouble." And he said, "Yeah, you're right." at the beginning, you never knew when the next gun battle was going to be, and you'd be running and hiking through the mountains. And there were times, though, when we thought we were kind of safe from the military and we'd spend a few weeks in one place, and that's when the time just drug by. You just waited for the next hour to be up. Sometimes I would count from 500 to 1 backwards. Martin is the eternal optimist, and always laughing and always smiling, and he always had a joke. And we encouraged each other in the Lord. We went over and over what we believe. What do we believe? What is true? And we would remind ourselves of the promises of God and the scripture that we knew. I told him, I just don't know how much longer I can do this. I said that every day, you know. I'm sure he got sick of it. He said, today I've just had Psalm 100 in my head, and scripture says to serve the Lord with gladness. And he said, I know that this doesn't seem like serving the Lord, but that's what we're doing. And I think we can serve the Lord with gladness. We've gotten to the point where we were just asking God to get us out of there, and we didn't really care how. And so God got us out of there. They used to chain Martin at night. And that night when I got in bed, I laid down and I thought, you know what? Martin's not chained tonight. I was really happy for him. I was happy for him because he was out of there. And now I don't know what I'm supposed to do. But every day I'm going to do what God wants me to do. I'm going to take care of my kids. I'm going to stay close to him. And he's going to lead me. I know he'll lead me, just like he led me in the jungle.
Amen. She is going to be with us Sunday evening, October the 29th at 6 p.m. We're going to have a big event there. We're going to invite the community. But this is a great time to invite people. The people that you invite will thank you. And a very inspirational story. And she just gives her testimony. She actually was there in 2001 and 2002 and with these terrorists for an entire year. She about died herself. She got shot herself. Her husband got shot and died, and my. And she had to dig deep for her faith. Is that right? And the people that have gone before us, line the way, is that right? Retelling of their story of the grace of God in their lives, and it is wonderful to catch that. Back to Hebrews chapter 11. Do start praying for this event. Pray for her, and then note that you can invite families. This is going to be a great, great time, a Sunday evening in October. Here we're in chapter 11, verse 38, right at the end of verse 38, or we're in the chapter, verse 35, it says, others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Her husband, Martin, went to heaven. He got shot and went to heaven. He didn't have chains on anymore every night. And verse 37, they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. They were mistreated, abused, but they had a better. Verse 38, I love this. Of whom the world was not worthy. And you say, that's something, that's the ones that's lined the way, our martyrs, our heroes. And it says, these all, verse 39, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. The Old Testament did not receive the promise. And it was neat there to see that. Jump back to verse 13 of chapter 11, verse 13 to 16. Just stopped right in the middle of the narrative and gave a statement, and I want to read it right now. Hebrews 11, verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promise, Messiah, Savior. He hadn't come yet, still Old Testament. But having seen them afar off, they knew the Messiah was coming. They trusted Him, were persuaded of them, and embraced them, the promises, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. Do we have a promise of Jesus' second coming? We're just like these. They had the promise of His first coming, and they waited and anticipated and believed and acted upon it, and they didn't live in this world. They said we're strangers and pilgrims in this world. Verse 14, for they that say such things declare plainly that they seek another country, and truly they're looking forward. And truly, verse 15, if they had been mindful, desirous of the country from whence they came, our earthly, they might have had opportunity to have returned. They didn't go back. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them the city. And back to verse 39, it says, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. And it's wonderful to catch that. Verse 40, for having provided some better thing for who? For who? For who? For us, for me, for you and me. They were in the Old Testament, and He promised that the Messiah, the Savior, would come, and they looked towards it, and they believed it, and they were saved by faith in the Messiah coming, the Savior coming. We have, the Messiah has already come, and He came in the 33 AD and died for us, and we look back to it. We have the promise. He really lived. He really died. He really loved. He really did miracles. He really saved us. He really arose. He really ascended. He's coming back. And we're saying, they're going, I believe. They were looking towards it and believing. We are looking back to it and believing. And it's wonderful to realize that God has something better for us. Do you realize you know more of the Bible than the Old Testament guys knew? You know more of the Bible than John the Baptist knew. We need to realize we have the New Testament. And He says, but there's something better for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Chapter 12, verse 1. Chapter 12, verse 1. It just keeps the theme steeps going right here. It says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, those who line the way, the faithful ones who line the way, retelling triumphs of His grace. We have that there. And He says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. Since we have all these people, they lived, they loved, they served, they sacrificed, they died. Is that right? They have a testimony. They have a story of faith. Now He says, they took off all of their weights, and they took off all of their besetting sins, and they runned, and they served, and they sacrificed. Now He says, now you lay aside your weights and your besetting sins. Now I'm going to relate the weights to distractions, okay? And I'm going to relate the besetting sins to sins that stop you. The distractions slow you down, is that right? But sins, besetting sins that you repeat over and over, stop you, and then you got to start again, okay? But the distractions just slow you down. Mason, would you come up here, please? Mason. I've asked Mason to come up here. Well, these are our weights. These are 2-pound weights. I use these every day in exercising. I get wore out in 5 minutes. Okay, Mason, hold these up. Can you hold these up pretty good? Hold them up. Hold them up. Hold them right here, right here, right here. That's the hardest place to hold them. Okay, how you doing?
I'm doing okay.
Okay, good. How long you think you could hold them?
10 seconds or more.
10 seconds, he said. Okay.
10 seconds or more.
Are they getting heavy?
A little bit.
That's what distractions do. Is that right? That's what distractions do. Now, he's still holding. He's still there. Are they getting heavier? Okay. And then that's what distractions. They just slow you down. They don't stop you. They just slow you down. Okay. Now we go to these. These are 5-pounders, bud.
I thought they were 8.
Okay. They feel like 100. Okay. Ready? 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 Okay. Hold them up. 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 Oh, man. Okay. You can go be seated, bud. Let's give him a hand. Give him a hand. Distractions slow you down, okay? Besetting sins stop you. And you got to start. Now, I don't believe this is telling that you lose your salvation. It's not talking about that. It's just there's things in your life. There's distractions in your life. Let's just hit those first. The distractions, the things that slow you down, things that hold you back, that push you away from the promises. And it is hard to think about these and to realize that they are there. Things that just slow us down. They are not necessarily wrong things. I find the hardest time to serve God is when I'm relaxing. Huh? Now, at church here, I don't have much problems. Oh, I can have a proud thought here and there, but I don't sin much when I'm at church. Does that make sense? I don't sin much when I'm at church. I don't sin much when I'm praying, okay? I can have some proud thoughts and some jealous thoughts and some covetous thoughts, but not many, okay? But when we relax, and we in America relax a lot. Is that true? It's true. And then we let our guard down. We lay our sword down. Is that right? We lay our shield down. I want you to know, can we be deceived pretty easy? The devil is called the deceiver. Does he know what he's doing? He's trying to distract us. We have so many distractions in our lives in America. Huh? Let's all agree. And we got to guard against that. You know, we could have been praying, but we're watching. Is that right? We could have been reading our Bible, but we're reading another book. Now, is there anything wrong with reading another book? No. But is the Bible better? Okay. Now, there's times for that. But if we're not careful, those things that aren't bad can become weights. Is that right? Can become distractions. You don't notice them too much because they just slow you down. You know, I can pick this up and I could preach my whole sermon with these. Okay? They will just slow me down a little bit. After about 5 minutes, I'd be gone. Just my elbow, my shoulders be moving. Slows you down a little bit. I want you to think about that. I'm not going to make any comments here. I want you to know that God wants us to have full tilt on Him. Like when I went to get my tire fixed, had a nail in my tire. That's a second one in 2 months. Did God have a great plan, better plan for my tire? Huh? And I went over there and I said, I might as well read, might as well take a book. It's going to take me about a half hour. And God had a better plan. I got to talk to a man that goes to a Methodist church here in town that's a Christian man, a Bible man. He says he's been there for 63 years. Says we've had 15 preachers, and he says some of them haven't been Bible men. And some of them have. You need to be compassionate for people. I mean, compassionate. That guy was a Bible man. He says, the wife and I, she reads the Bible and we discuss it every night. I said, cool beans. I believe the guy's a saved man. And we need saved people in all these churches. Is that right? All these churches. But he would just say, this guy didn't, he wasn't too much of a Bible man. Then we got another preacher, and he was a Bible man. Then we got another man. He was more social man. You know what I'm saying? And we need to pray. And me and him got to talk. Now, what do you do? I said, I'm the preacher at Grace Bible Church. Oh. And we got to talk. And he was, me and him just rejoiced the whole time. He was about 82, and it was neat to just spend some time and just encourage him, huh? that somebody's trying to read the Bible and do right. And it was simple. And it was, we don't take those opportunities because we're distracted. We don't get our Bibles enough because we're distracted with other stuff. We don't pray enough because we're distracted. We don't minister to people because we're distracted. We don't help people. We're pretty selfish, aren't we? Let's all agree. We're all pretty spoiled. Even old people. Are we? We are. And we like to relax. Nothing wrong with relaxing. Nothing wrong with, but take God with you. Take God with you at everything you do. Take God with you. And don't disexempt yourself, because those are weights. They're distracting. They're not bad. They just slow you down. And if you're not careful, they'll become besetting sins and stop you. Okay, that's enough on the weights. Now let's get on the besetting sins. I had these where I exercise. I found these in Ronnie's closet. Thus, we don't use these any. Oh, these are terrible. I'm done. And they stop you. What hit me was it tells of Noah and Abraham and Samson and Rahab. I want you to know all of these people had besetting sins. Noah would tell us today, don't get drunk. Because he got what? Drunk. Messed up his whole family. Is that right? And Abraham would tell us, don't lie. Did that mess up his whole family? He would tell a lie. His son would tell the same lie. She's my what? She's my sister. Okay. Samson would acknowledge that, don't give in to your passions, your immorality. You know, we think of Samson, all we think of Samson is Samson and Delilah. Okay. He had another woman too. Okay. Had a weakness, terrible weakness. Messed him up bad. I want you to know, teenagers, when you sin, there is great consequences for sin. Great consequences. And when your parents and your grandparents and your spiritual friends, your church, your Sunday school teacher says, don't go to those areas. Don't go to drink, and don't go to lying, and don't go to passions. Don't do that. Rahab, we think of Rahab as an harlot. She would say, don't, you know, you can break the chain of being a prostitute. You can break the chain. I was bound by it, but I don't do that anymore. Moses, what was his weakness? He got mad. God didn't let him into the promised land because he what? God told him to speak to the rock, and he what? Wouldn't you be angry at all those 2 million people who wasn't following you? And he struck the rock instead of spoke to it. And it says, Moses would say, hey, control your anger. You know, I had to control my anger. Now you control your anger. We have Gideon. Gideon was a man full of fears. You know, hello, mighty man of valor. And Gideon goes, me? You know, I'm gonna use you to whip all the armies. Now, God, if you're with me, have this wet and this dry. Now, God, don't get mad. Have this wet and this dry. You know. And he, you know. Now, God, tell me again. He had to go down a third time. And they got real close to the enemy army, and they said, oh, I had a dream and this and this. It's Gideon. He goes, oh, wow, we're gonna win the battle. You know. He had all kinds of fears. And Gideon would say, don't give in to your fears. David committed the two worst sins of the Bible. He is an adulterer and a murderer. Did God still use him? He would say, folks, watch out for your immorality. It'll kill you, you know. And watch out for covering up sins. These are besetting things. They are habits that you've developed. They are family sins, generational sins. Do we have that? You grew up, I grew up with this. You know, my daddy used to talk this way, or my daddy used to act this way, or this is how my daddy treated his wife, or this is what happened when we went to Uncle Bill's, you know. And wow, there can be abuse. Is that right? There can just be terrible things happen. And you say, well, this is... No, no. He says, with besetting, with weights, lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset you and run with patience. Is that right? They will slow you down or they will stop you. And when you slow down, you don't accomplish everything for God. Get those. Lay them aside. Put them off. When they stop you, declare war on them. Declare all out. If you have to amputate, you just can't play games with besetting sins. You got to fight. You got to war. And he says, these guys that went before you, they had to lay down the weights and they had to deal with the besetting sins and they dealt with them. So get at it. And it's going to be a lifelong process. Do you know why God allows you to have sins, weights, distractions, besetting sins, sins that just are easy, just keep coming back and you fall to? Because every time God allows you to be tempted, He expects you to have victory. Only reason He allows temptations is for victory. And if you'll just realize, He never means it for defeat. You have to be tempted. You have to have battle. You have to have struggle to have victory. And so you need to realize, I'm being tempted to lust. I'm being tempted to be proud. I'm being tempted to have revenge. I'm being tempted. Is that right? I'm being tempted. Only reason God's allowing that, for me to stand. Is that right? To stand. And to realize that the cross is there. And it's so important that we grasp that and realize it's wonderful. Look at verse 2. Verse 1, it says, lay aside, notice all the cloud of witnesses. They laid all of this aside too. And they got victory over their besetting sins so that they can run with patience, endurance, the race that is set before them, our calling and ministry. Looking to Jesus. That's the key. The author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy, we got to keep looking to Jesus. We got to keep the joy. I want the joy there. I don't want it to be stopped. I don't want it to be slowed down. I want full joy. He endured the cross. Look at our next one. It says, come see the cross. I love this. Where love and mercy collide, meet. Oh, it's wonderful. He loves us and He also has to be merciful, not to punish us. As the Son of God is stricken on the cross, dying on the cross, then see His foes lie crushed beneath His feet. Did He win the war? He paid the price. It's awesome. He won on the cross. For the conqueror has risen, okay? And as the stone is rolled away and Christ emerges from the grave, this victory march continues till the day every eye and heart shall see Him. We're in the midst of the victory march. We have the victory. We can lay aside. We can get victory over besetting sins one at a time. When you get victory, you need to call me and say, "Woo, preacher, I just got victory." And we need to count our victories. And if we have a besetting sin that just holds us down and stops us, when we get victory over it, we need to know it's coming again. Is that right? And if you get victory over it for 2 days, rejoice. Get victory over it for a week. Get victory over it for a month. Have you done that? Have you done some sins that you realized, I haven't done that for 6 months. I used to cuss and swear all the time and haven't done it. That's victory. And you need to realize that. And if you just get, if you did it, if you cuss and swear 20 times a day, and the next day you only cuss 10 times a day, are you getting victory? Yes. I don't think we count victory enough. The devil says, oh, you just did 10. Big deal. You know. And then you get it down to 1. You're still doing it 1. You're just as bad. No, you're not. You're getting victory. That's laying it aside. It's an active thing. That's distracting. You recognize it. You acknowledge it. You say, that's distracting me. That's becoming more important than God and the Bible and brothers and sisters and helping and ministering to people and being involved in church. He says, I'm not going to do that. And he comes back and he says, I'm going to walk with God. We need to lay aside. The weights, and the sins that doth so easily beset us, and run with patience and victory, for God has said it us, looking unto Jesus. Verse 2, it says, despising the shame, set down at the right hand of the throne of God, for consider him that endured such contradictions, hostility of sinners against himself. Wow. And then lastly here in Hebrews 12, 3b, it says, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. That's the whole subject. Don't lose heart. Arise, old church. That's what it says. Arise. Arise. Don't go down. Go up. And realize that he is in his strength. I can do it. And you need to retell the story. I want you to go home this afternoon and tell some stories to your children and grandchildren, to your mate, to your family, to your friends. Tell stories at work tomorrow. What God has done. That's the key thing. God showed up. God gave me victory. I laid this weight aside. I've realized that. And to realize those things and the sin that does so easily beset me, I've gotten some victory. Count your victory. Lay aside the distractions. Lay aside the sins that trip you up. Things that slow you down. Things that stop you. Looking to Jesus, right? For he's the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy laid them all aside. Claim the victory. Arise, old church. Arise. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for being our Savior, our God, our example, our one we look to. And Lord, since you got the victory and you've given us the Holy Spirit, we can get the victory. Lord, give victory over the weights and the besetting sins this week, so that when we are passed on and we are the ones retelling the story and lining the hallways, that people will remember we got some victories, just as Noah did, just as Gideon did, just as Samson did, just as Rahab did, and we can. Lord, give victory every day and help us to counter victories so we can rise, old church. Get ready for heaven and get victorious as our journey is onward to heaven every day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.